Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, outstanding to have you with us right here on this Tuesday night. Get things started 1 hour later. Thanks to the wonderful ladies of Helmets and Heels. My name is Rick Ballew. We go into the night. We do it each and every night, 7 to 9. But tonight, we push it back, 8 to 10. And, you know, I feel good today. It was great to get down to the bank. It was great to get inside the building and to talk Jaguar football again. And to hear from Doug Marrone and to see Calais Campbell. Unfortunately, I had another obligation a couple hours later when Nick Foltz came back to talk. I did not get that opportunity today to talk with the Jaguars starting quarterback, but I did meet him about, 3 weeks to a month or so ago when he was introduced here in Jacksonville. But it's just good to get down there and to get things rolling. And you know, I've always said that I'm one of those who really enjoys the off season almost as much as in season. But the offseason is so important, and really every little phase of it, conditioning, rehabilitation, nutrition, strength, conditioning, the whole nine. And it began yesterday, it continued today. You're allowed 4 hours a day in that building where it's work with the coaches, in the classroom, on the chalkboard, on the computer, whatever. Obviously, you can't pat them up and go out and practice. That is not part of the process right now, but it's about learning what's going on with this football team, both on the offensive and defensive side. And Doug Marrone today mentioned focus probably 6 or 7 times, talked about the knowledge of one another, understanding everyone, getting to meet the new players. Is, you know, this is constantly the business of pro football, where it literally is a revolving door. I mean, you're going to end up having 20, 25 different players on this year's team who were not there a year ago at some point. That's just the way professional athletics is. And certainly that's the way that the NFL is at this particular point. But that's certainly something that we talked about all offseason. Changing the culture. Finding leaders. And you know what? That's 100% for any team that's losing. Okay? My alma mater has been talking about that. Florida State, the culture sucks and there's no leaders. Same thing was said about this football team last year. They made some significant changes, including some position coaches, some higher-priced guys that no longer here are part of this football team, and we'll see how things all fall into place. Now, a couple of real big things that came out of today's media availability with Doug Marrone, Calais Campbell, and Nick Foles. Number one was no Jalen Ramsey, which I think was expected. Certainly not surprised, but the Telvin Smith situation caught me off guard, and let's get right to it. There's been a lot of rumors with Telvin Smith. Is he gone a week from Thursday night? I would say probably not, because that's the first round of the NFL draft. If Jalen is going to get traded, it's going to happen probably on Saturday. That would be my guess. But there's some talk about him as a guy that, and I hate it for Telvin, because I've enjoyed this kid his entire career, you know, watching him as an underranked kid at FSU. He didn't get the prestige and the recognition of some other defensive players around him. But you talk to Jimbo Fisher and all of those great defensive players that he had when FSU won a national title. The two that he singles out for leadership qualities are LaMarcus Joyner and Telvin Smith. Telvin had it. And I'll remember the rookie minicamp, the year that they had, you know, a very good draft. At least it appeared that way at the time. The Blake Bortles draft and the Allen Hurns draft is an unrestricted, off-the-street free agent. Robinson, Marquise, just all the guys that brought in. I believe that was Brandon Linder. Blake Bortles, and they got Telvin in the 5th round. But you could see it in day one. They brought a lot of guys off the street, and I think they had 49 players out there in that early May rookie minicamp session and practice. And Telvin looked like the leader of the group. Infectious. He stood out, and that was always his role. He has been extremely vocal. He has been a leader. And I think around town here, he became an immediate fan favorite. When he got that contract extension, at the particular time, it seemed like a real good deal. This was a football player that we always heard was underweight, wasn't big enough, but made some fantastic plays. The problem with Telvin Smith is at times he overpursued. At times he would make really kind of remarkable mistakes, be way out of position. And you would scratch your head every once in a while and say, what is Telvin thinking? Last year was the exact opposite. You look at his numbers, he led the team in tackles. He also missed a ton of tackles. I think he led the NFL in missed tackles. If not, he was in the top five in professional football in missed tackles. But his coverage slipped. His overall tackling slipped. And then there were some who were questioning the leadership that he had. Was he taking some guys with him down the wrong path? That is something that had been stated quite a bit in this city. So now here we are, a week and 2 days away from the NFL draft and draft weekend. And with Telvin Smith not here, maybe he's got a legitimate excuse. Maybe there was a family matter. Okay? Ask Doug Marrone about Telvin and Jalen. What did Doug Marrone tell us? He's reached out to them both. Hasn't heard from them. I have a little bit of an issue with that because I'm always a guy that believes in respect. And I think a player should respond to a coach. Whether that's old school, you know, whether I'm not in with the millennials or I'm not in with Generation Z, I don't know. I'll let you form your own opinion. But I've always been one of those who believes that if your boss calls, if your coach calls, you take the call or you respond to the call. The way things are now, under the collective bargaining agreement with the players' union, maybe this was a little bit by design. Maybe Telvin Smith's PO'd about all these rumors, and he's saying, here you go. I'm not going to respond. Jalen Ramsey's working out in Tennessee. He wants that huge deal. He's getting ready for year four. He realizes that fifth year slapped on as a first-round draft pick. Maybe this is the way that he's sending a sign. I don't know. But I remember going back years and years ago and hearing that the late Sean Taylor wouldn't return a phone call to Joe Gibbs. And at that particular point in my life, I was saying, what? Joe Gibbs? The man's won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. He's an icon. And Sean Taylor's not returning his phone calls? What has happened to this game? What has happened to the players over the coach? Where is the respect gone? Or has it always been just a bargaining chip? I don't know. So I'm a little down on that today, that Telvin and Jalen don't at least respond to Doug Marrone. Overall, for what it's worth, Jalen not being there, I don't have a huge problem with. Because Jalen's going to be in phenomenal shape. Jalen's going to play every game, and he's going to give it his all. I would like him to be here. Do not get me wrong. But I'm not surprised. And we spoke about this really over the last month and some change. The real story would be, what if Jalen elects to hold out once you get to minicamp? What if he elects to hold mandatory minicamp? What if he elects to hold out during training camp? Remember the last holdout around here, Maurice Jones-Drew, it didn't go over too well. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I haven't been tipped off on anything. I'm just thinking out loud that, oh my goodness, can you think of a worst case scenario than Jalen Ramsey holding out? I hope it never comes to that. I hope he's here for day one. Tomorrow night, the schedule will be announced. We'll talk about that in our second hour. That'd be kind of exciting. We can look at where they're playing, home and away. We know the opponents. We just don't know the dates. But the Telvin situation's got me a little bit. And I think there are some here in town who believe that he has warmed out his welcome and that they would just as soon see him moved. Move Miles Jack to the weak side. You know, they went out and they got the linebacker from Green Bay, who worked under Dom Capers. The name is Jake. Was it Jake Ryan? Where they went out and they got, you know, injured a year ago. Maybe that's something they do as well in the NFL draft. I'm kind of mixed on this. I think Telvin's a good football player. But there's something there, clearly. And when you look at what is going on with this team and where leadership is such a huge part of the process when it comes to moving forward, I think you need to ask yourself if there is any sense of negativity or kind of doing things alone and away from everyone else. Are you better off cutting bait at this particular time? And I don't know that that's the case with Telvin, but certainly it has been rumored that there have been some of those issues. We'll see what ends up coming out of this. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded next Saturday, a week from Saturday. Honestly, I'd like him to come back because I think he makes this football team better on the defense. I'm just looking at names and guys. I mean, all of a sudden, you're going to have to get it done this year. Fowler traded in midseason. Malik now gone. Barry Church released with a couple of games to go. Gibson no longer here. You keep losing all these great guys off this defense. And I understand that those skills eroded, players I just mentioned. Okay? Malik lost a little bit of weight. Fowler was a space shot. Church just woke up one day, and it's like he lost his speed. I mean, it just happened. He lost like two steps. You know, Gibson was a nice player, but he was very, very, very average, and he's just too expensive. All of a sudden, you add Telvin to that. That's five of your starting 11. I know that technically Fowler's not a starter. He was coming off the bench behind Yannick. But maybe they want to get rid of that contract to find a way to move him, and they got these big deals coming up, like Ngakoue, the big deal coming up with Jalen. And obviously, you know, are they going to decide to bring back Miles Jack? So they got some very interesting decisions that they got to make on the defensive side of the football field. All right, when we come back, I want to talk more about what happened today. The Jaguars and Leonard Fournette. A lot was said today by Doug Marrone. Very interesting story by Doug. Going back to his days when he was a younger man in the late 90s, arrested. I don't know if he said the word arrested. He said handcuffed and put in a police car because of a suspended license. Now, I know that you can be cuffed and taken away and not officially arrested, but to listen to Doug Marrone earlier this afternoon, the exact same thing that happened to Leonard Fournette happened to Doug Marrone. And I thought what Doug said about this was pretty interesting. That kids make mistakes, and he made mistakes. Do you feel any differently now about Leonard Fournette, because you heard the head coach say that he went through a very similar situation? I think with Leonard, I think most of you out there looked at it as a sense of entitlement, a sense of arrogance / ignorance, you know? Arrogance to ignorance. Why would you do something like that? Maybe he didn't realize what was going on. I find that hard to believe. But nonetheless, Doug Marrone did talk about that today, so we'll spend some time getting into that. Also caught up with Calais Campbell, who had a lot to say today about Nick Foles, and he also shared his opinion on Telvin Smith and Jalen Ramsey not being there. So we're going to be Jaguars heavy in our very first hour. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight, Matt Hayes is on the road. He is in Mizzou, where the Drew Lock days are done. Kelly Bryant takes over as the starting quarterback. Remember the success he had at Clemson, okay? Bounced out simply because Trevor Lawrence is all world. Now Kelly Bryant has that opportunity to get things going for Mizzou. Spent a couple of minutes with Matt Hayes on that in our 9 o'clock hour talking about the Tigers, but I also want to dive into the Florida spring game with Matt Hayes. We've texted and gone back and forth, and obviously, he did watch the game over the weekend, as I did. So I want to certainly talk to Matt about the Florida Gators. That's coming up tonight at 9. Going to keep you updated on the Tampa Bay Lightning. On the brink is Tampa Bay, down 2-1. Right now in Columbus, are you kidding me? Down 3-0 in the series and 2-1 already in Game 4. You know how I feel today about the greatest ever, the best ever, this and that. It kind of drives me nuts. But this is Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. If the Columbus Blue Jackets sweep the Tampa Bay Lightning in four straight, this is one of the most mind-boggling upsets of our lifetime. And I know it's not a huge hockey audience out there listening tonight, but I'll just remind you that Tampa Bay had 128 regular season points and were absolutely phenomenal. They tied a record for 62 wins. They blistered everyone. And here's an 8 seed that just barely snuck in the back door to become playoff eligible. And they're 40 minutes away from one of the greatest upsets in NHL history. Four straight against Tampa Bay. I'm going to keep you updated on that. Red Sox, Yankees, I don't know if I'll keep you updated on that because every time I look up, New York is scoring, for crying out loud. 4-0 now. Chris Sale, what is going on with Chris Sale? I mean, it's a good thing they won the World Series a year ago, so I won't freak out about it, but what has happened to this man? He's on the verge of becoming a pitcher with a record of 0-4, with an earned run average, you know, somewhere in the 8s or the 9s. I'll look it up here during our first break. All right, let's stay with the Jags. Let's come back. Let's hear from Calais Campbell. Let's talk about what we discovered today with the Jaguars. The OTAs are officially underway. Jaguars talk as we continue into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, NFL schedule will be released tomorrow night. It's a great day for NFL fans. Admit it, you love it. I know I do. 8 o'clock, I'm sure they're going to piece it together and go week to week and make us wait. I remember a few years ago, I got the league schedule and I tweeted some of it out. Oh, that wasn't good. One of the 5,000 times in my career that I was actually slapped on the wrist. I didn't know it was that big of a deal. But no, the NFL has to be one to break it. The NFL's got everything locked up. I mean, you can't say Super Bowl party. You ever notice that? You're not allowed to say that word during the week of the Super Bowl. You have to call it like, there'll be a party for the big event. There'll be a bash for the big game. But you're not allowed to use that phrase. That's the NFL. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, though, the schedule will come out. And I'm pretty excited about that. It's going to be a neat couple of days. Thursday, the State of the Jaguars address. The mayor, Lenny Curry, is going to join me Thursday night. Talk to Lenny about some of these issues, questions that I think you want answered as Jaguar fans. What is happening downtown? We'll see the presentation on Thursday. Mark Lamping, Tom Coughlin, the Ownershot.com will be there. So it'll be pretty cool. That'll be at 10:30 coming up on Thursday. So, you know, with today, things really kicking off for at least some media availability with OTAs beginning yesterday. And then tomorrow, with the schedule being released, and then Thursday with the State of the Union, you got three pretty good days around here for Jag fans. Try to get you the very latest as far as what is going on with the team and, you know, what is going on with the city. And I think this is going to be a very, very intriguing State of the Jaguars address. I mean, is Nick Foles... is that signing enough to excite you to the point where you're purchasing season tickets? If you are on the fence, and I understand the way fandom goes. I got you, okay? I understand your thinking. And I think for a lot of you, it goes like this. 5-11, you stink. You see Yeldon. You see Fournette. You see the Bortles explosion. You see coaches getting fired. You see the lack of respect. And you're like, that's it. I've had it. I'm out. Then a little time goes by. A little bit more time goes by. You're playing golf. You're fishing. You find yourself a new girlfriend. Everything's kind of cool. All of a sudden, it's mid-April. You're like, well, they just added some key free agents. Now the NFL draft's a week and 2 days away. if they make a splash in this draft, then all of a sudden it's early May, rookie minicamp, late May, regular minicamp. Before you know it, it's August. It's training camp. You're going to go back and buy those tickets. I've seen it before. I have buddies who do this to me yearly. That's it. It's always the same thing. It always begins with, that's it. It's kind of like that couple that always fights and always says they're going to get divorced and always going to leave one another, but you know damn well that it's never going to happen. That's the way true fans are with their teams. You're emotionally invested in what's going on with the club. And when they stink up the joint, you've had it. But then a little time goes by and you start to get excited again because you love that team. And you have the fear as a fan that what if they flip that switch and start winning and I'm not there for it? Did Nick Foles sell season tickets? I'll be interested to get a report on that coming up on Thursday to see where they're at as far as ticket sales. Are they going to make a big splash on that Thursday night? Who makes the biggest impact in this year's draft class? I'm shocked if they go quarterback. Is it TJ Hawkinson? Is a tight end out of Iowa going to have the biggest star power as far as I need to get and buy some tickets now immediately? What if they draft an offensive lineman? What if they draft Juwan Taylor? What if they draft the best defensive lineman available, like a Montez Sweat? What if they draft an Ed Oliver? Is that going to do it for you? It's really kind of interesting. There's not really one that sticks out and says, yeah. You talk about a buzz. You just want that jolt. You want that draft night jolt. I don't know if you're going to get it this year. Matter of fact, I kind of think you're not. Now, the four players I mentioned are all very good. I'd go tight end over tackle for the simple reason of I think TJ Hawkinson is a better tight end than any of the tackles who were available in this year's class. But if they elect to go defensive line, you're going to get a good football player if you go for Ed Oliver, if you go for Sweat. I mean, you're getting a good player. Again, I don't know what that'll do for you, though, when it comes to going out and buying seats. All right, I want to get to Calais Campbell. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They're hiring right now, a $1,500 signing bonus in Clay County. You need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. And again, they're offering up a signing bonus, $1,500, very competitive pay, outstanding, perks, benefits. That is what you get in a company like this at Advanced Disposal. Apply online. Go to AdvancedDisposal.com/careers. Let's get to Calais Campbell. I asked Calais today about the beginning of the OTAs. And for him, what about the fact that Telvin and Jalen are not here?
With Jalen and Telvin not here, have you had a chance to talk with them at all? And are you disappointed they're not here?
I haven't talked to them, but those are two guys I'm not worried about. You know, I mean, those are guys I know who are going to come back in top tip shape, you know, focused and ready to go. You know, I mean, I know their grind and their work ethic, you know, they're going to be just fine.
All right, very professional answer. Kind of what I think I expected, even though I asked the question. To me, the issue will always be what is said publicly and what is said privately. I don't think all of these players want to be here working out during the offseason. I think they understand that it's part of the job requirement. And it's best to be in that building with your teammates, working with them, sweating with them, the whole nine. That is how you are able to pull things off and move forward. But Julio Jones is not in Atlanta. Tom Brady is not in New England. I heard more members of the media bitch last week that Tom Brady wasn't at the Red Sox celebration when they hung a banner than what they've done this week that he blew off OTAs. Now, that may be an unfair comparison because the guy's won six Super Bowls. And if you win six Super Bowls, you could pretty much do what you want when you want to do it. But you don't hear the criticism there. You're not hearing the criticism with Julio Jones in Atlanta who wants to get paid. And frankly, I don't think there's a lot of criticism on Jalen Ramsey, at least from that building, members of the media who are pretty credible. I think there's a portion of the fan base that is going to say that Jalen is selfish and he's a prima donna and he's egotistical and he's arrogant because he's not here. And I'm not trying to change your opinion on it. I've always looked at it this way. Separate rules for separate players. I'm okay that Jalen Ramsey is not here. I wouldn't have been okay if Leonard Fournette wasn't here. To me, there's a major difference between the two, even though they were consecutive first-round draft picks. One is turning into the top defensive player in the NFL, and a guy, regardless of his physical health, plays each and every week. The other was just bad in every sense of the word a year ago. From being a teammate all the way down to his production on the football field, including his health. It was a major miss. So, separate rules for separate people. We're not talking about varsity or junior varsity here. We're talking about professional football. If Jalen Ramsey, with a newborn, wants to be with his family and work out with his dad in Tennessee, I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. Because I know that Jalen's going to be in tip-top shape and ready to go. Again, I wish he was here. Telvin Smith, on the other hand, I have more of an issue with. Telvin Smith's skills on the football field last year changed. He was not as good of a football player in 2018 as he was in 2017. He made a lot of mistakes. And Telvin has always been like the first guy on the practice field and like the last guy to leave. And he practices with 110% effort. One of the great things about Maurice Jones-Drew that I always loved is even in drills, when MJD would take a ball, let's say between the guards, between the guard and the tackle, and he'd run it 15, 20 yards, and it was a 7-on-7, you know, 11-on-11, whatever the drill was. And he'd go 15, 20 yards, and most guys would break it off. Maurice Jones-Drew always finished the drill. Man, he'd run 60 yards if that's where the end zone was. He always gave it his all. Telvin's the exact same way. He doesn't know what half speed means. But I do have an issue with him not being there. His skills slipped a year ago. He did not play as well this past season. And without knowing the story right now, it seems to me like Telvin Smith is pouting. Am I wrong by saying that? Do you look at it the same way? Do you have a similar opinion to me about Telvin on that issue? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up these phone lines when I do return. Again, Matt Hayes will join me at 9. We'll get in some college football. He's at Missouri. We'll talk to him about the Tigers, and we'll certainly talk to him about the Florida Gators spring game, which was played this past Saturday in Hogtown. But 641-1010, get in for a moment on Telvin and Jalen and offer up your opinion there. And I haven't even mentioned Doug Marrone and the Jaguars not disciplining Leonard Fournette at all for this driving scenario, which, oh, by the way, I totally agree with. Totally agree with that. It was a mistake, and it was a bad mistake, but I'm not suspending him or fining him or doing anything along those lines with Leonard Fournette. I'm trying to bury all this nonsense and get this guy focused and ready for the 2019 season. But maybe you want to offer your opinion on that particular side of the story as well. So, Jag fans, good opportunity for you to get in is right now. 641-1010. That is the phone number, 641-1010. We go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, two possible sweeps could happen tonight. The Lightning, Columbus up over Tampa Bay 3-2, 5 minutes to go, second period there. And how about the Islanders up 3-0 over the Pittsburgh Penguins? They've got a 2-1 lead, 16:40 to go in period number two. So a lot of hockey left there. Some late night games. Jets, Blues, series locked at one. Actually, St. Louis up 2-1 in that best of seven. And then the Sharks and the Golden Knights will do it late night, 10:30. Look forward to that. Vegas up 2-1 in that best of seven. All right, let's get to some Jaguars right now. Let's do that. 641-1010 if you would like to join us. Leonard Fournette, no suspension, nothing at all with the team, which I totally 100% agree with. The Jalen and Telvin situation. Give me your thoughts on that as well. 641-1010. Do have a couple of open lines for you. Let's kick it off with Dean with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Dean?
Good evening. I just wanted to comment on Leonard Fournette as a Jags season ticket holder. I mean, hopefully he's ready to go that first weekend of September. But his just immaturity, I mean, just does not impress me. I mean, I know they didn't do anything about the driving issue. But, you know, his hijinks on the sidelines toward the end of last season, we yelled in. I mean, hopefully he just gained some maturity. I know he's 23 years old, but, you know, I mean, can his behavior turn around so he can contribute to this team and get focused on football?
Boy, I hope so.
My big question, because without him, I mean, Foles needs some weapons around him to produce like he did in Philadelphia.
It's certainly going to be a lot easier for the Jaguars to move forward with a healthy and focused Leonard Fournette. Dean, thanks for the call. I don't think there's anyone out there that would argue with that point. You know, even though statistically speaking, what, there was a situation last year and went out, they were 4-0 without him. I've seen some numbers this year, points per game with Leonard Fournette, without Leonard Fournette. They're basically all the same. I don't know what to make of that. The sample size is about a year and a half because he missed, what, three games as a rook, and then he missed six games last year. So you're talking about a guy that has missed nine games in 2 years. That's an awful lot. So, again, it's not a tremendous sample size for Leonard Fournette. But they're a better football team with him. And if the Jaguars are going to be on the come this year in an extremely competitive division, he is going to have to be better than average. Folks, they're going to be projected to fall in last place in the AFC South. And think about how much that has changed from a year ago when there were some out there that had this team going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I happen to be one of them. I mean, Houston and Tennessee, and especially with a healthy Andrew Luck and the free agent moves that they have made, the Jaguars are going to be projected to be fourth this year in the AFC South. And they absolutely need Leonard Fournette to be the guy if they're going to be able to take it to that next level. Let's go to Tom, who's next up. 641-1010. He's with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Tom.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on Leonard Fournette, but I do see a major upside. If they can channel the gangster in this kid to turn around and really get focused on football, man, he could be awful good.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I mean, that's a big if because, you know, even when he had that great year, Tom, or you know, a better-than-average year, he still, to me, left some yards on the field. I don't know if it's the lack of vision. I don't know if it's the lack of great football instincts, but it just seemed to me like there were times where he went left where he should have gone right, and he went right when he should have gone left, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I know exactly what you mean. I've been watching them. I've been a season ticket holder since day one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an eternal optimist. I'm excited about this year. I think that we got a real opportunity. And, you know, Shad Khan said something that really struck me a couple years back when he hired Coughlin. He says, I want the best football minds in the building. And I believe, I mean, I can't speak for all of them, but I know Tom Coughlin is one of the best football minds out there. And I think this thing will get straightened out. And I think we're going to be good this year.
Hope you're right, Tom. Thanks for your phone call. Opens up the line 641-1010. You look at four running backs
in the last 4 to 5 years, including last year with Saquon Barkley, who were selected in the top five of the draft. Todd Gurley, all right, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, and Leonard Fournette. And we pull it up right here. Last year, the top three rushers in professional football, Zeke Elliott, 1434, the rookie Barkley, 1307, and Todd Gurley, who, of course, missed some time with an injury, 1,251 yards. Those top five draft picks were the top three rushing leaders in professional football who averaged 4.7, 5, and 4.9 yards per carry. All right? Locomotives, 304 carries for Elliott last year. What a workhorse. 304 carries. Barkley, the freshman, had 261 totes last year. He averaged 5 yards a carry. He had 16 carries of 20 yards or more. Good for 11 touchdowns. Gurley, 256 carries last year. You know, you go all the way down. By the time you finally get to Leonard Fournette, you're talking about a guy who averaged 3.2 yards per carry. And I understand that defenses were out to stop him first. Blake Bortles wasn't a heart stopper for defensive coordinators during their weekly game plan where they were sweating bullets saying, oh my gosh, we got to find a way to contain and slow down Blake Bortles. No. And you had the lack of weaponry. There's been no tight end around here. There's really been no deep threat around here. Your offensive line was ripped apart. So there's all your excuses, and they're very valid. But Leonard Fournette, 133 carries, 439 yards. That's 3.3 yards a carry. You know how many carries he had for 20 yards or more last year? Two. And I want to say the most he had, his highest was a 25-yard carry. So this isn't really a take it to the house type of guy. Now, we saw him jolt as a rook, certainly against Pittsburgh. But I think there really is a little bit of where's the shake and bake? Where's the patience? Where are the instincts? Where's his vision? Instead, it's more of a, is he going to be able to go? Is he healthy? You know what I'm saying? I wish you could cut through the, is he going to be able to go, to the, well, you know he's going to give you this, but can he also give you that? And he hasn't. I mean, you compare him to the other guys. And as far as I'm concerned, that is where you need to compare him to based on where he was drafted. He's one of those four running backs that were drafted that high. And I know this drives Jaguar fans crazy. Because you look at the success of Gurley, you look at the success of Elliott, and you look at the success in just 1 year of Barkley, and then you look at Fournette and you're saying, what the hell is going on? And granted, he did play well as a freshman. He did play well as a rookie. He put up some pretty decent numbers as a rookie. But are you trying to tell me right now that Leonard Fournette is tapped out as far as his potential? Man, he has got to become a better football player. He's got to be all in, 110% every day, focused in. I don't know what his drive and ambition is. Hopefully it's money. Because if that's what it is, the only way he's going to get paid and get a huge second contract is for him to turn into one of those other three backs that I mentioned. And right now, the betting public against that, even here in Jacksonville, would be an overwhelming no way is that going to happen. I want it bad. Again, when I was on Midday Chalk and I was arguing with my colleagues, I always played the role of fix it. fix Leonard Fournette. You'll never get back the return for where he was drafted. Because there's many in town that wanted to wipe their hands clean with this guy. And I understand your reasoning. But mine was, uh-uh. Separate rules, separate players. Find a way to fix Leonard Fournette. They have. Doug Marone was asked today about Terry Rubisky, an LSU guy. Doug Marone was asked today about Alfred Blue, an LSU guy. Doug Marone said that he always liked Alfred Blue. And the fact that those two have an LSU background had very little bearing at all as far as Doug Marone was concerned as to why they are here. And there's the head coach. So if there's one thing we've learned about with Doug Marone, he is a very honest man. It's going to be an enormous offseason for Leonard Fournette. I just want to know how good he really is. I mean, can he just break out? Does this guy have the talent to break out and become one of the top five backs in the NFL? Or instead, is it a situation where, no way, that's wishful thinking? Can he be a top 15 back in pro football? He's going to be nowhere near Elliott, Barkley, and Gurley. He's not close to a Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to be close to a Nick Chubb. He's not going to be close to a Sony Michel. He's not going to be close to a James Conner. He's not going to be close to a Lamar Miller. He's not going to be close to a, I don't know, a Chris Carson, a Joe Mixon. I'm just throwing names out there. Kareem Hunt. Alvin Kamara. I mean, there's a lot of very good backs in this league. Love to see it for him. There's nothing I'd love better than for the light to go on for Leonard Fournette and for him to have a huge season in Jacksonville. We'll see. At least he's here, because that would have been a huge story. If he wasn't here yesterday, that story would have been tenfold over him driving with a suspended license. So I think he deserves, and I know it's, I understand it. I know that you can't really celebrate and acknowledge and thank a guy for being here for voluntary workouts. It's his job. He's supposed to be here. But just think about how massively criticized he would be if he wasn't. Therefore, I'm going to tip my cap to Leonard Fournette for that simple reason. And if I'm a hypocrite, okay, that's fine. I can live with that. 4-3 Jackets over the Lightning. Man, a couple of goals now here in the latter part of period number two. This is getting pretty good. We'll keep you updated on that. Let's switch gears for a moment. Let's get to college football. Matt Hayes is next up. Out on the road, he's at Mizzou. Drew Locke is out. The quarterback from Clemson, Kelly Bryant, is now in, and he is a starter for Barry Odom in Missouri. You know, your average 4-4 type of team in the SEC, they usually have a big win, knock off a heavy, and then they usually sputter and lose a game to a team that, you know, they probably should have won. That'd be probably the best way I can define Missouri. So we'll spend a couple of minutes there, but I also want to talk to Matt about the orange and blue game that was played this past Saturday in Gainesville. So Matt Hayes, who you hear noon to 3, also writes for the Bleacher Report. He will be joining us coming up at 9 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Matt Hayes is on campus. The Matt Hayes Spring College Football Tour is presented by Vector Security. Intelligent security tailored for you. Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back into the night with Rick Ballew. Let's go to Missouri, where our friend Matt Hayes is on the road covering the SEC. And Matt, thanks for a couple of minutes. Obviously, the biggest story there is replacing Drew Locke, who we expect to go very early a week from Thursday night in the NFL draft. But they got themselves a good one waiting in Kelly Bryant.
Yeah, it is. Rick, you know what? And Kelly told me today he wasn't really even thinking about Missouri until, you know, he came over here, and then he saw what, all of a sudden he saw what Derek Dooley did with Drew Locke, and he spoke with Drew Locke, and he realized, hey, maybe my best path to get to the NFL is coming here. I mean, he saw the growth that Drew Locke had from his junior year to his senior year, becoming more of a intermediate and downfield thrower. So, yeah, he figured this would be a great spot for him.
you know, he had chances to go to some better programs or programs that you would think would have an opportunity to be a major player and possibly be around as one of the four teams for a college football playoff, like an Auburn. So just kind of expand upon that a little bit. Why did he elect to go to Missouri? Because I was surprised when that decision came down.
Yeah, I mean, he admitted, he thought, you know, he knew everybody was surprised. He said it was kind of funny how everybody was reacting on social media. But his whole point was, look, it's not just about this year. It's about our future. Like, he wants to play in the NFL, so he wants to become more of a thrower. He figured this was the offense where they were giving him the opportunity to showcase his ability to throw the ball. And I'm not so sure that would have been the case at Auburn. I think Gus is probably moving more back toward, you know, what was successful for him, you know, under Cam and under Nick Marshall. And again, those are, you know, two very good guys. So you got to take that with a grain of salt as well. I mean, whatever Gus is going to do there, he's going to have a quarterback that's going to, you know, fit into that mold.
I really haven't heard a lot about what Kelly Bryant has said ever since the Dabo Swinney decision. Obviously, he went with Lawrence, and how can you fault Clemson for that? The kid was absolutely tremendous. But Kelly just kind of walked away, and you really didn't hear much. Has he put that in the rear view? Did you even have an opportunity to speak to him about his days at Clemson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's nothing but good times at Clemson. You know, six of his teammates came to the Missouri spring game. Hopped on a plane, come out here to see him. So he's still very tight with the Clemson guys, still keeps in touch with Trevor Lawrence. It's not what you would think. You would think like a guy who took his team to the college football playoffs and then loses the job to a freshman. You would think there'd be like a little bitterness or resentment, and there's just not.
What about this club for Barry Odom? I mean, middle of the pack, 4-4 a year ago, 8-5 overall. Of course, Odom is the ultimate Missouri guy. He played there. He came up through the ranks as a graduate assistant and has worked his way all the way to becoming a head coach. But what are really the expectations this year for Missouri?
You know, Rick, it's interesting because, you know, his point was, you know, we lost three games in the last couple plays. He said, but same time, we won a couple games in the last play or the last couple plays. He said, people always tell me, well, you're this close to winning 11 games. He said, yeah, well, we're also this close to winning 5. So, I mean, I think, and he also made a very good point. Look, it's all about the quarterback. If they can get consistent play from the most important position, they're going to be fine. They'll be good, and they'll have a chance to at least, you know, compete in the East.
Matt Hayes, our guest. You hear him each and every day from noon to 3 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. He's going into the night with Rick Ballew, broadcasting live tonight, or Matt reporting live from Missouri. Let's talk about the Orange and the Blue game. That was played as well over the weekend down the road in Gainesville. And, you know, some trickeration again early on for Dan Mullen.
He loves that spring game trickeration, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Rick, I mean, it's the thing with Florida, and, you know, and I've been saying it for the last 6 weeks, you know, I've been talking to people there, it's just the transformation that they're seeing in Felipe Franks. And it all begins with, oddly enough, that Missouri loss, you know, that humiliating loss when he was benched. Kyle Trask was going to, you know, named starter, and all of a sudden Kyle Trask breaks his foot, and the next thing you know, here we go, you know, or whatever the injury was for Kyle Trask. I can't remember if it was a foot or a knee, but, you know, here we go. He's got to go back in. He's got to play, and he just plays lights out the rest of the season. And clearly he was standing there at the abyss, Rick. He saw what was going to happen. He saw what he needed to do. And he's grown. He's grown a lot as a thrower. The locker room loves him there. The players he plays with, they love him. They feed off him. He's going to have a big year, Rick. I truly believe that. And that, considering where we were this time last year with him, when he was a huge question, it's amazing how far he's come.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the South Carolina game was obviously huge for him, the ability to be able to come back in that particular fashion. Then, of course, he had tremendous success against Florida State and got a huge bowl win against Michigan, where they had struggled against the Wolverines the last couple of years. So, you know, all the arrows are pointing forward right now for Florida. They got as much skill at wide receiver as any team that I can remember in quite some time there. I think when it's all said and done, you know, the question for the Gators is what's going on with that offensive line.
Rick, it's absolutely crazy that you just made that statement. And I was saying the same thing a couple days ago, that the reality is this time last year we were saying they got nobody receiver that can make plays. They got a quarterback who can't make a big throw. And now they are seemingly loaded at receiver. I mean, you look at what they've got. You know, they got Grimes, they got Cleveland, they got Jefferson. Now, Jefferson's a terrific player. And they got Swain. They got all these guys, Copeland, these young guys. They've got two good tight ends, three good tight ends that can catch the ball. It's all set up if they can protect. And I think they're going to need probably one or two of those freshmen to play and play a lot. If they can figure it out on the offensive line, Rick, they're going to win a lot of games. They may not win the East, but they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, I played in a golf event recently with Tim Carter, who was a first-round draft pick by Notre Dame, out of Notre Dame in 1993 with the Washington Redskins. And he was telling me about Bettis and Ricky Waters and Brooks. And he said it didn't matter. Every once in a while, Lou Holtz would say, take the rocket and stick him in the backfield. So I'm not calling Kadarius Toney Rocket Ismail. That's probably unfair. But this guy is such an amazing weapon. Matt, in my opinion, you got to find a way to get this guy the ball 8 to 10 times a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, Rick. I think early on he really struggled to pick up the offense and pick up the concepts of the passing game and of route running, and that's a big deal. You got to know it's not just route running; it's also the concept of the passing game. There's a lot of option routes, and he struggled big time with that. And he's a guy. I agree with you, man. The way he can run, his athleticism. If he figures it out, Rick, he's going to be dangerous.
Give me a minute on the defense. Obviously, Jefferson and Polite gone. What about coming off the edge and maybe some young linebackers? Reese is one of the best in America, but what about guys around him?
Yeah, they got the Louisville transfer. They got Moon. They've got guys that look the mold and fit the mold, Rick. But the reality is, you have no idea what you got until you go out there and you play, and guys have to actually go perform. And you can be all these, you know, big time recruits or big time transfers all you want. You got to be able to perform. I think they're really good in the secondary. They're probably gonna have one of the best secondaries in the country. Linebackers, they're good initially. Depth, I don't know so much about. I think they'll be all right defensively. They'll eventually grow into a very good defense, but I think it's gonna take a little time. It's a lot like the offensive line. It's gonna take a little time early in the season.
Matt Hayes, live from Missouri, with us right here into the night with Rick Bogle. Make sure you listen to Matt. Get everything from him noon to 3 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. You can read him on the Bleacher Report. Matt, always a lot of fun talking some college football with you, man. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, buddy. Love your show.
All right, take care.
I love it, too. Thank you. Appreciate that. But I always enjoy Matt. Go way back with Matt Hayes, and it's great to have him on our radio station as well. Very interesting year for Missouri. And Kelly Bryant, you know, talk about remaining humble and think about what that must have been like for him as a competitor to have some success at Clemson. I mean, he led them to 12 victories a year ago and got the start early on. And Trevor Lawrence was so highly decorated that Dabo had to play him. And he played him, and he was better. I mean, that was – going to talk about Russell Wilson coming up here in just a little bit as we do news and notes. You go back to the Russell Wilson situation. You know, he left NC State. He went off to Wisconsin for a year. But he just flat out beat out Matt Flynn in the month of August. What, 7 years ago when he won that job coming straight out of college. Same deal here for Trevor Lawrence. He just went and took it away from Kelly Bryant. And Kelly Bryant had opportunities to go to a lot of different places to play college football. But something about Missouri took to his liking. And you'll see him this year, obviously, in the SEC West, where I don't know if Missouri will be ranked or voted in preseason-wise. I'm guessing, what, maybe third would be the high. The low could be 5. I mean, Georgia's going to be predicted to win it, in my opinion. And Florida will be number 2. But I think Missouri's got a chance to be 3, right there with South Carolina and right there with Tennessee. It'd be very interesting to see what happens with Mizzou this year. Florida has really some crazy offensive weapons. I mean, has this ever turned 180 for this program? You talk about a dormant offense. You talk about something that was really silly. Going back a couple of years ago with Jim McElwain, I mean, it was just terrible. Now, all of a sudden, you've got explosive guys all over the football field. And I love this Tony kid. You know, I talk about him often. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Kyle Pitts can do at 6'6". You know, Van Jefferson missed some time. He was back and forth. But, you know, with him and Freddie Swain and Trevin Grimes and Ty Cleveland, I mean, you're just absolutely jam-packed. And I think that Felipe Franks is only going to get better. I mean, the guy was pushed into immediate service, and he didn't respond early on, and I don't think it was his fault. Your quarterback should have been Will Greer, and we know the reasons why he's not. But what a learning year. And he's got to complete more of his passes. I think he was about 54% most of the year. He ended up the year around 58%. He improved his game late against South Carolina, certainly had a nice game against Florida State, had a decent bowl victory over Michigan. But the problem there is going to be that offensive line. And, you know, they brought in those four true freshmen, the early enrollment true freshmen. I talked a little bit about that last night, how the game of college football has changed, where years ago you could not rely on true freshmen to be offensive linemen immediately, and now you can. But, I mean, you went from winning four games to 10 games. And before that South Carolina turnaround, there were still a lot of things that were really in doubt for Florida. You had the impressive win over LSU, but you needed statement victories. And you got them at the end of the year. Say what you want about Florida State, their worst season in 37 seasons, you still beat them. I mean, it had been 5 years. You needed that win desperately, and you got it. And you got it going away. And then you lost consecutive years to Michigan to gain a victory against that program. And you used that, those two victories there, and you ended up having the first top 10 overall recruiting class since 2014. I mean, hey, you look at Florida right now, those arrows are all pointing up. I mean, is anyone alive right now going to pick Florida State over Florida with that game being played in the Swamp in late November? Is anyone alive right now going to pick Miami against Florida with that game opening up in early August? What is it now, the third weekend of August? I think it may be the 24th.
Yeah, August 24th for that one.
All right, so, you know, at least a week earlier for us college football fans. Solving Georgia's a problem. Right now, Georgia's ahead of you. But Georgia is also, I believe, one of six, seven, eight schools that are national championship-type contenders. Florida's not there yet. You're not a national championship contender. But you're an SEC Eastern contender. You're a 10-plus win for consecutive years type of club. Now, I still don't think you're at the level of Georgia and Clemson and Oklahoma and Ohio State and Alabama. And that's no disrespect. That's just freaking honesty. You're getting better, though. And all of a sudden, there's some swagger there. You know, it's like cool again at the University of Florida. And you've gone through a drought. And I'm even talking about SEC winning divisional titles drought. I mean, you won those titles, but you just got destroyed in Alabama. I mean, you got destroyed in Atlanta. And Florida State kicked your ass. And every bowl game that you walked out, I mean, you guys are losing three games a year to end your year. And you can win an SEC East, but if you're getting boat raced by Florida State, an SEC championship game, and a bowl game, that's not the way you want to end your season, losing three in a row. And you go into recruiting. Well, look what turned around this year. And it all happened, as Hayes said, the disaster against Missouri. But then the come-from-behind win against the Gamecocks, the pounding of Florida State, and the big bowl win over Michigan. That totally changes the identity of your football team heading into an offseason. It'll be a very interesting year for the Gators. To me, the biggest concern for them is, again, that offensive line. And we'll see if guys like Andrew Chatfield, who's been talking, you know, the crap you said about Miami and this and that. I think you should get a little something done on the field before you start talking. That's just my opinion. But, hey, with CC gone and Polite gone, he's going to get an opportunity. Will Andrew Chatfield coming off the edge. We'll see if he's a guy who can make a name for himself defensively. All right. News and notes, truth teller style. That is coming up next, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I'll give it to Dan Mullen. We just talked a lot about the University of Florida. He was kind of goofing around Florida State. Said I was going to announce the attendance as being 41-140 in reference to the 41-14 win in God's country. But I guess it rolled in that after the game, instead he went with the attendance of 39,476, which was tweeted out by those in the Gator circle of it being 39 years and 476 games since Georgia has won a national championship. Spoke about that last night with Denny Thompson. Denny and James coming up here tonight at 10. There is enormous pressure on Georgia to win this national title. Because if you look at where they're located, I mean, everyone around them has won it. Hell, Georgia Tech won it. All right, Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, Florida State, Florida, Miami. I mean, you think about the blue bloods down here. Georgia's one of them. Georgia has to win a national championship. They have got some phenomenal talent. That offensive line is too deep, maybe two and a half deep. What I mean by that, they may have 13 or 14 of those kids that are ready to play. They always have backs. I'm told their receivers is not as good as what you find right now at Florida, Florida State. Defensively, they can hold their own. Not a lot of depth behind Jake Fromm. I did see that what's-his-name had a pretty good weekend for Ohio State, Justin Fields, both with his feet and with his arm. But come on. I mean, winning the East and winning 10 games and getting to Atlanta, that's not it. That's not enough for Georgia. And I like Georgia. Every year I speak to the Georgia group, I've always kind of liked the Dogs. You know, I don't have any second favorites, but I like Georgia. And you've got to win a national title. There's no other way to say it. 39 years. Holy smokes. I mean, how can that happen for a program? And you've got the talent right now. You've got the coach. You've got it all going. Because the others who were down, they're going to come back. I hate when people say, oh, it's all cyclical in college. I don't believe that. But I do believe the programs dip and then they come back. And Florida had dipped. Well, they're coming back. Clemson is obviously back. Florida State, you believe, will be able to get back at some point. I believe that. I don't know if they ever will be able to in the Willie Taggart era. He's only been here for a year. We'll see what happens. He deserves some more time. I happen to think that Miami is in a position right now where they'll never win another national title. I just don't think the U is what it was. I don't think that they're able to hold on to their own. They lose out. And I'm not talking about just Florida and Florida State going into South Florida and pulling that talent. I'm talking about Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, and others who are going in there pulling that talent. Ohio State, Michigan. My guess is that in our lifetime, we'll never see the Hurricanes win another national championship. But Georgia has to. The pressure is on that organization right now. I mean, these second-place finishes, these preseason prognosis, it's not good enough. You got to find a way to win. A lot of pressure on them coming up this year. They really have it. I mean, Nick Saban will put the pressure on himself and his team, but there's no pressure there. He's already won it, what, five times? You know? I mean, Clemson to win it for a third time in 4 years, we'll see. Ohio State, Oklahoma, anyone else you want to choose. They've all won them. Georgia hasn't, man. They have got to win a national title. I picked them to win it all last year. Obviously, that didn't work out. Had a pretty bad football season, considering I picked Green Bay to knock off Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. Neither one of the two even made it to the playoffs. And I had Georgia over Alabama in a rematch. All right, let's get the news and notes. Truth Teller style, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com, the only law firm right here in the state of Florida, where if someone has been injured or even if it was fatal and it happened on the road because of a truck, a tractor, trailer, an RV, a bus, anything along those lines, make sure you contact these folks. They're very good people. TruckCrashLaw.com. They're based in Jacksonville. They're the only law firm statewide where this is their expertise. This is what they do. And absolutely, you should know the name. TruckCrashLaw.com. Russell Wilson got paid. Highest in the National Football League. He gave them the deadline for April 15th at the midnight hour, and obviously it happened, and I guess he found out about it as he was laying in bed with his wife.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
He stroked a check for $65 million. He didn't stroke it. The check was stroked and delivered to him. $65 million he puts in the bank. What's the wife's name again? Sierra?
Sierra, yeah.
Yeah. Singer, entertainer?
Yeah, all
choreograph,
encompassing.
All that good stuff?
All
yeah.
of it, yeah.
It's his world. We're just living in it. All right, real quick, LeVay. Where are you ranking Russell Wilson right now as a quarterback? Let's eliminate Tom Brady and Drew Brees because of their age. No, actually, screw that. Where are you ranking? Right, let me do it to you this way. Who would you rather have as your quarterback? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson?
Aaron Rodgers.
I would too. Who would you rather have? Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
Me too. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to go with you there. Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson.
This stage in their career, Russell Wilson.
Now we're thinking alike here. That's scary. Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Tom Brady, Russell Wilson.
Oh, boy. We talking long, long term or this season?
I'm asking you a question. Who would you rather have as your quarterback?
I guess he can't go against the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Yeah, but he is 41.
Yeah.
All right, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Got it. Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson.
Russell. Yeah. Proven he can win on the big stage more than Matt.
I think he's a top five quarterback. I also think he is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the National Football League. He gets overlooked year after year after year. And the guy was absolutely fantastic this past year. 35 touchdowns, only 7 picks, had a quarterback rating of 110.9, and he doesn't have the weaponry around him that a lot of these other quarterbacks that I just mentioned have. I mean, that's one of the things that we've always marveled about with Tom Brady. Okay, he's had Gronk, but he's had very replaceable wide receivers. Look at the talent that Ben Roethlisberger has had, that Matt Ryan has had, that Patrick Mahomes had this past season. You can't say the same thing about Russell Wilson. So this is a deal that had to get done, and this is a deal that did get done, and I'm happy for Russell Wilson. I think that's a great story. Some NBA news for you last night. How about that 31-point collapse last night by Golden State? They blew a 31-point lead in this basketball game, and it got even worse for him because now it looks like Boogie may be gone for the remainder of the year. DeMarcus Cousins, an MRI scheduled where they believe it could be a torn quad. What a massive blow that would end up being for Golden State as they're trying to, you know, what is it, either three-peat? Have they won two in a row? Cleveland, yeah. I guess, won it 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, back-to-back right now. 3 out of the last 4, so they're looking to make it 4 out of the last 5.
Mm.
Jeez.
Yeah, unbelievable.
What sucks for Boogie, too, is this is his big free agency year coming up, too, so he could have made a lot of cash, and you have to think that injury is going to put a huge dent on that.
No question about it. I hate it for any of these guys who end up getting injured, but that was the case last night. How do you blow a 31-point lead? And, you know, it's tough to criticize Steve Kerr. Since he's been there, they've won, what, 3 world championships. He made another finals. But someone needs some blame. When you blow a 31-point lead, I mean, how does that happen in the NBA? Just incredible. Folks, one of the biggest shock stories in sports in years and years and years, in decades, is 6 minutes away from happening. The Columbus Blue Jackets are up 4-3 right now over the Tampa Bay Lightning. I cannot believe what I am saying. This makes absolutely no sense to me. Tampa Bay was so good this year, so fast. 2 great lines. I mean, their top 6 are as good as any in the NHL. Solid back end with very good goaltending. And they are just getting blistered right now by an 8 seed in Columbus. 4-3, Columbus over Tampa Bay. 6 minutes to go in the third period. Let's see, it's 9:31 right now, so by the time I get off the air, this game should go final unless it does end up going into overtime. And remember, when you get into the playoffs, there's nothing in sports that is more exciting than sudden death playoff hockey. You play until someone scores. None of this shootout crap that they do during the regular season or the 5 minutes of 3-on-3, which is kind of cool. I like those 5 minutes of 3-on-3 for the regular season. But once you get into the playoffs, that's the way it is. You're playing until someone scores. So, again, the Blue Jackets up 4-3 in this game. They hold a commanding 3-0 lead over Tampa Bay in this best of 7. The Islanders as well. Remember, they're hosting their first playoff series since 1988. And right now they have a 2-1 lead over Pittsburgh. They've played 2 in Pitt. So 20 minutes worth of hockey still to go. Couple of teams out east trying to sweep tonight and get it done 4-0 over their opponent. Wow. Insane news. There you go. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Those are some very good people at truckcrashlaw.com. You know, it's a very difficult situation to talk about if you're aware of someone who was injured. It could even have ended up being fatal. And can't imagine what that does to you and your family and how difficult all of that is. But once you get through it or in the process of getting through it, you need to be taken care of, especially if an accident happened out on the road and it was the fault of a truck driver, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, anything like that. Go to truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm in the state of Florida that this is what they do. This is their expertise. You can go down to the lawyers, and then they'll point you here, point you there, all this stuff. Just go right to the people where this is what they do. Truckcrashlaw.com. Some wonderful human beings, and we appreciate them joining us on the program. You trying to tell me that Chris Sale is 0-4? Are you trying to tell me that the New York Yankees beat the brains out of the Boston Red Sox tonight? Was it a final? Is that final now 8-0? I think you'll be surprised to learn here, LeVay, that my computer here has gone helter-skelter on me. It is an 8-0 final by the Bronx Bombers, who have like 15 players on the disabled list. Chris Sale tonight went 5, allowed 7 hits, 4 runs, a home run. Chris Sale, 0-4 with an earned run average of 8.5. How about Blake Snell, the reigning MVP, or excuse me, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, dropped, I don't know what it was, something in the bathroom. It was some sort of porcelain or something, and he dropped it on his toe. See how these baseball players are. They get a hangnail. They're going to take a couple of weeks off. He's been put on the shelf. Some of the freak injuries that baseball players have had over the years. Guys have been placed on the DL for sneezing. John Smoltz went on the DL for ironing a shirt that was actually on his body. The Rays right now up 3-2 over the Orioles. And again, at 12-4, trying to go to 13-4 on the season. Boy, the Tampa Bay Rays playing some great baseball. All right, when we come back, I'll keep you updated on that hockey matchup that's going on tonight. And, boy, the pressure on Tampa Bay. You know, they're going to have to pull the goalie here and try to tie some things up. So we'll come back, spend a couple of minutes on that. Get back to the Jags a little bit. We spent our entire first hour on that. I understand a new audience has dropped in, so I'll come back and relive a little bit about what happened earlier today when Doug Marrone met with the media. Also today, Nick Foles met with the media, and Calais Campbell met with the media. So we'll come back and discuss that as well. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They're hiring at... right now in Clay County, you need a CDL, a commercial driver's license, and that's good for a signing bonus of $1,500. Make sure you apply online. Go to AdvancedDisposal.com/careers. Much more to do with Rick Ballew, Denny, and James. Take over tonight at 10 o'clock on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, huge news coming out of Columbus. Obviously, Tampa Bay pulled the goalie, and it backfired. Columbus has just scored two more goals. They're up 6-3. A minute to go, and history is being made tonight in Columbus, Ohio. I understand that there's not a huge hockey audience out there listening, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I don't think you understand the magnitude of what is taking place. Tampa Bay was a large favorite to win this year's Stanley Cup. They had far and away the best regular season record of any team. They had 128 points. You just look at the East. Tampa Bay had 128. The Bruins had 107. The Maple Leafs 100. In the Atlantic, in the Metropolitan Division, the Capitals have 104, the Islanders 103, and the Penguins 100. The Blue Jackets, 98 points. This is a number one going down to a number eight seed in four straight games, a sweep. I mean, I don't even know what I can compare this to. I wish I could give you a good analogy. I don't want to call it a 16 seed over a one seed like we saw 2 years ago in March Madness. It's not that. But let's also consider that's 40 minutes of basketball and catching a team on a bad night where even though they were a 16 seed, it was one game. This is winning four straight games in a series. I mentioned it the other night. The guy laid the 85 large down on Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods at a 14-1 odds to win the Masters. I think he collected $1,190,000. Can you imagine the odds that you would have gotten if you went to the window in Las Vegas and you said, yeah, I'll take the Columbus Blue Jackets here to sweep Tampa Bay in four straight? I have no idea what those odds would have been. But my guess is absolutely enormous would have been that payout. And what's kind of great is now that gambling is becoming more, you know, accepted is the word I'm going to use. It's always been kind of dirty the way that it's entered sports conversations. But there's more information nowadays coming out of the casinos in Las Vegas. And, you know, because Las Vegas loves to cry that they're getting their brains beaten out. Like, there's nothing they enjoy better than telling us that they took an enormous bath because the public bets on Tiger Woods and that they lost all this money. You know, they want to make you feel like they're going to shut down those casinos. They're not. That's just kind of their way of pouting a little bit because they're going to turn around and find ways to make money. It's no secret why those buildings continue to grow in the middle of the sand, okay? The house always wins. But if someone did play a crazy wager like this by taking Columbus, now I'm sure some took Columbus to win the series, You find a bunch of those. And my guess is you were probably getting plus 400 to the dollar. Maybe 380, maybe 400, maybe a 420. I mean, so think about that. You lay down 100 bucks, you get down 420. But I'm talking about, what if you went to the window and said, give me Columbus to win four straight games? If the series was plus 400, plus 420, how many thousands would it have been for an 8 seed against a 1 seed to win four straight games? Thousands and thousands and thousands would the ratio have been if anyone took that type of bet to the window in Las Vegas. And if it happens, or did happen, I'm guessing we will find out, if not tonight, by tomorrow. Boy, they just pulled the goalie and let him go after it. Columbus scored three goals on the empty net, so it has gone final. They have got to be going absolutely crazy right now in Columbus. A 7-3 win tonight over Tampa Bay in a four-game series. Just amazing. Congratulations. That really changes the entire perspective of the National Hockey League playoffs. Because you had a situation where they were the overwhelming favorite to win it. And so it's kind of a crazy year. I mean, only two of the original six are in. That's Toronto and Boston, where it looks like Toronto's kind of got Boston's number this year. Even though I thought Boston outplayed them last night, Toronto beat them. Boston got a ton of shots on goal, especially in the third. They just couldn't solve the problem and put a puck in the back of the net. But all of a sudden now, there's a host of teams that are looking at this saying, whoa. I mean, truly, this is like Alabama getting knocked off. You know, this is like the New England Patriots going down. The only thing that separates that from those two teams, as far as my analogy, is there hasn't been cups being run around Tampa Bay recently. Of course, they won it years back when they had Vinny LeCavalier and they knocked off the Calgary Flames. But, I mean, this just absolutely is stunning to me. This is more of a surprise to me than Tiger winning the Masters, because I thought the Tiger would come back and win a major. I mean, how do you lose four straight to Columbus? Wow. All right, enough of that. Denny and James coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Tomorrow will be another day for OTAs for the Jaguars, and then tomorrow night will be a lot of fun because they'll announce the schedule at 8 o'clock. So we're going to get an opportunity to look at that in our final hours. They're announcing the schedule. I think it's a big day for NFL fans. It's a big day for Jag fans. You just get an idea now of when these games are going to be played. You can line them up with your college team and look at weekends. And I know there are a lot of folks out there that travel to one game a year, maybe two games a year with the Jags. You'll be able to get an early start on those particular trips this year, depending on where you're going, whether it's a divisional matchup or somewhere else. That's always a lot of fun. And then Thursday's a big day with the State of the Team address. Very interested to see what comes out of that on Thursday. Get a better and clearer picture as to, you know, what is the latest downtown? What is going on ticket-wise, revenue-wise? How is this team doing? And they didn't win last year. We get that. I don't want to get out of there with a negative feel. I understand that Mark Lamping has told us forever that they can only do what they can do. You got to get the product on the field up to where they're winning games. And we know what it's like when people win, they come. Well, they came last year and they weren't winning. Are they going to come this year? I don't know. Did the Nick Foles signing reflect anything at the gate? Did people go out and renew tickets or buy season tickets in general because now Nick Foles is your quarterback? I don't know the answer to that question. I would think it might have had a little bit of a burst, but I don't know if it made a major difference. So we'll see. We'll find out about the way things look for the Jags. A lot of questions right now. And the mayor's going to join me tomorrow night to talk about that as well. So Lenny Curry will be on the program as well coming up on Thursday. So we're going to be very packed over the next couple of days. I thought today was good just to get down there, to hear from Calais Campbell, to hear from Nick Foles, to talk to Doug Marrone today. It was a good day. If you didn't hear, really the two things that came out is that Leonard Fournette. There will be no penalty towards him, no suspension, no fine, nothing by the Jaguars. Jalen and Telvin are not there. Those are the only two who are missing. And more than anything was really Doug Marrone talking about the presence, and Calais Campbell as well, talking about the presence of Nick Foles and how it is now a situation where it's all about focus, trying to learn from one another, meet the new guys that are part of this team, and get started right back after it, getting to work. And that's what they've done yesterday, and that's what they've done today. Remember, you get 4 hours a day that you can work with the team in the classroom, in the weight room, et cetera, during OTAs.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. It's time for the Sports Den.
8-0 Milwaukee over St. Louis right now, man.
Kristen Yelich, can we just give him the MVP right now? He had 3 home runs yesterday.
I know. Oh, I know. My phone kept buzzing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got, you know, the notification thing like everybody has now, mm-hmm. know, on their favorite team. And it's just another home run. I'm like, is my phone broken? Like, is something wrong here?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my team lost 8-0 tonight as well.
Well, to the New York final. Yankees. Ours could be 16 by the time it's
to the
done.
New York Yankees.
That does hurt.
Hey, Golden State blows a 31-point lead last night. Mm. What about tonight? What about the Tampa Bay Lightning losing 4 straight games to the Columbus Blue Jackets? Tampa Bay, the overwhelming favorite to win the Stanley Cup, the number one seed. They got their brains beat in by an 8 seed in 4 straight games. Absolutely remarkable.
I didn't know anything you just told me.
Absolutely
remarkable.
I've got
to get to the Blue Sports Bar, and I've got to get educated on this hockey stuff. I legitimately, I'm not like a lot of North Florida people where I'm snooty about it. Like, yeah. I want to learn hockey. I want to be able to watch hockey.
Bro, it's the best.
That's what everybody says. Playoff hockey. I just don't know how to watch it.
Playoff hockey is – I kind of hope this Islanders
– So Tampa was like the team?
Tampa had – they had 62 regular season wins in 82 games.
Oh, wow.
128 points. They were far and away the best team. I mean, this is the New England Patriots. This was Alabama of college football. And to an 8 seed that just barely got into the playoffs, an 8 seed, Columbus beat them in 4 straight games.
So they swept? So is hockey one of those sports where it's like there can be big matchup problems? You know, like you see it sometimes in football, you see it sometimes a lot of times in basketball, where one team just matches up better against certain. Is that the way hockey is?
It can be, but I think it's more that the puck will bounce a certain way every once in a while. You can run into a hot goaltender.
Yeah,
it's like running into a hot pitcher.
Yeah,
in Major League Baseball,
that throws 3 times.
You run into seven. And, you know, you get, like, the checking lines that they have put together here, their third and fourth line in Columbus, guys off the street, guys that are reclamation projects, guys that are going into the corners and fighting and outdoing the far more talented Tampa Bay team, and they get out of it with 4 straight. This is really an unbelievable story.
You want a confession here?
Yeah.
I didn't even know Columbus had a dang hockey team.
It's all right.
What are they?
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
All right, Blue Jackets.
It's a great win, though. I mean, really. I mean, and you know, listen, I was kind of forecasting a Boston-Tampa Bay, you know, playoff.
Bruins.
Yes.
See, I know that. Bruins, Lightning. I got some of them. I really didn't know about Columbus.
Right now, Toronto.
Are they a new team?
Who's that? Tampa
Columbus.
Bay? Yeah, they've been around for probably 20-something years.
Oh, dang, really?
Yeah, they came around.
Because Vegas is new, right?
Vegas is the newest team.
Right. Now, yep. I did watch that because I remember seeing the opening to the Stanley Cup last year, and Vegas put on this huge show.
Yeah, Atlanta lost their team again. I think the last two before Vegas was Carolina, the same guy who owned the AAF for a few days, and Columbus.
Boy, that guy put a number on the AAF.
There you go. All right, what's coming up?
I don't know. We're going to talk some. We're going to talk about what happened today with the Jags. But I want to get into this Russell Wilson contract situation because I actually read something really interesting that points out why it's not that great of a contract, and actually it makes a lot of sense after you read it. So I want to get into that and kind of point people in a direction that the NFL may be headed in.
That's coming up right now. Denny Thompson along with James Coleman. Matt LaVey produces our program. Thank you to Matt Hayes joining us live from Missouri to talk to us about the Mizzou Tigers and Kelly Bryant, now their quarterback, replacing Drew Locke. Also talked a lot about the Gators with Matt Hayes as well. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They are hiring right now in Clay County. You need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. And if so, they're offering up a signing bonus of $1,500. Apply online. Go to AdvancedDisposal.com/careers. Tomorrow night, we get back into our regular rotation. That means 7 to 9 right here with the Truth Teller. And that'll be the case Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Folks, this is 1010XL and 92.5 FM. My name's Rick Ballew. Have a great night.